Good vach. This is Yisachar Wartel, and we are up to Parshat Be'ha'alot. So, before we get started, again, this year sponsored in loving memory of Sarah Bala Bat Menachem Mendel, we hear Neshama Haven Aliyah, you know, Chol Choli Am Yisrael, anybody who is, you know, suffering in any respect, we wish them well and, you know, divine assistance. All right, at the beginning of this week's parsha, Aaron is given a special commandment of lighting the menorah in the Mishkan, something that the commentaries speak about extensively. Now, when the Torah mentions that Aaron did as he was commanded, it writes, "Vayas kein Aaron el mol pnei hamenorah ha'ola neroteha ka'asher tziva Hashem et Moshe." And Aaron did so, facing opposite the face of the menorah to elevate its flames as Hashem commanded Moshe. Now, Aaron was a Navi. Not quite on the level as Moshe, but he was definitely a Navi. And he received commandments at times directly from Hashem. So on numerous occasions, he received commandments directly from Hashem. So why did he specifically in this case have to command Moshe to convey the commandment to Aaron? One would think that this case specifically, this was Aaron's special mitzvah, this special mitzvah he had of lighting the menorah. That would be the most ideal time, one of the few times that Hashem would speak with him directly. So the answer is perhaps hinted to in the Or HaChaim Kadosh. When Moshe was called upon by Hashem to confront Paro, Moshe shied away and requested that Aaron speak for him. As our sages teach, Moshe was acting humbly, but he nonetheless did make a mistake. He should have followed Hashem's direct command rather than to try and find a better solution, which in this case was Aaron speaking, right? Moshe had a lisp, he felt self-conscious, but he still should have trusted in Hashem and done it himself. Instead, he asked for Aaron to speak on his behalf, okay? A very slight mistake, but you know, he's held accountable for it, even though it was done out of humility. However, Hashem ultimately knew Moshe's character, and he knew that Moshe would still do it. Even though he wanted Aaron to do it, he knew that Moshe would be willing to do it. Right? Now, the fact that the kahuna, the priesthood, went to Aaron and not Moshe was not a punishment, but it was actually a blessing, right? In a certain sense, in a certain sense, I believe Chazal say that he had lost the right to the kahuna because he deferred to Aaron, so Aaron instead got the kahuna, he got the priesthood. But it's really actually a blessing, right? Because it's very hard to wear both crowns, what they call, right? The crown of being the leader, the manhig, the effectively the melech, the king of Bnei Israel at that time, effectively was essentially a king, right? Moshe, that is, right? So for him to be that and the Kohen Gadol, right, we already know in a couple weeks time, Korach already, it could have potentially caused a lot of problem. It could have put a lot more stress on Moshe. He was already under a lot of stress. Ultimately, it was meant to be. It was meant to be that Moshe was going to be the manhig, the leader, the melech, whatever you want to call it, the great leader of the generation, and Aaron was going to be the Kohen Gadol. Right now, Chazal teach mystically that Moshe was meant to be Netzach, and Aaron was meant to be Hod, right? Now, there are, as I mentioned a few times, there are 10 sphirot, or mystical emanations that come from God, that manifest themselves in this world, and everything is through a lens of at least one of those, or a combination of one of those 10. We're not going to get into how those work at all, way beyond the scope of our topic. But one of them, which means kind of like dominance, prominence, leadership, that's Netzach, and that was symbolized by Moshe, right? Now, on the spherical order, spherical not meaning circular, but relating to spheres, the next one after Netzach is Hod, right? I've spoken about that when we spoke about Lag BaOmer, about Aaron representing Hod. Hod represents glory. It represents thanks. It represents admittance and acknowledgement, right? So Moshe was meant to be Netzach, and Aaron was meant to be Hod. There are two different jobs, one for a leader and one for a man who is meant to represent the people. And in this case, they were not one and the same. Moshe and Aaron together had to become what Netzach and Hod are mystically combined, which is Yesod, or the foundation. That's what it literally means. And they specifically had to work together in order to make the beginning of the Mishkan function. Now, Hashem perhaps did not command Aaron directly because he specifically wanted Moshe to tell him. All right, think about that. Just as Aaron was truly and selflessly happy upon Moshe being elected as the leader, now Hashem flips it. So too, he would assume, and assume correctly, that Moshe would be truly happy, selflessly happy, upon the appointment of Aaron to the Kohen Gadol, right? Moshe didn't get to be Kohen Gadol. Aaron, his brother, got to be Kohen Gadol, and Moshe was truly happy and was selfless about it, right? And what had to be done out of Simcha in order for it to work, and it was done out of Simcha, and it had to be a partnership, right? To the ultimate brotherly and spiritual unity. All right. Now, the very next pasuk begins with the word Vizet Ma'aseh HaMenorah, and this is the making of the menorah. The menorah in the temple, that is a symbol and source of light, and as the Baal HaTorim explains, the seven branches of the menorah correspond to the seven lower or earthly spherot, so seven of those ten. Now, the left and right branches each point to the center flame, which corresponds to the bottom of the seven or the tenth overall. I know many of this is probably beyond much of your learning. Some of you are probably more well-versed in it than I am. I don't know who's listening. But the final one, which also ties back to the beginning, again, getting ahead of myself, is Malchut, kingship, right? The menorah also came, which basically is the middle one. So you have the lower seven sefirot. So you have three, three, and one. The one in the middle is the ultimate glory, the highest flame. That's Malchut, that's kingship. Now, the menorah also contained numerous adornments instead of three sets of three, symbolic of not only the upper three sefirot, which are either Chachma, Bina, and Daat, or Keter, Chachma, and Bina, but also the concept of what number three represents, which is Tiferet, which is the harmony between Chesed and Gvura, kindness and strictness. Right? Now, a similar phenomenon is seen when actually looking at the word HaMenorah, right? Hey, Mem, Nun, Resh, Hey. This word is numerically equal to 300, or the letter Shin. The letter Shin has all three branches pointing outward. The right is stretched for right is stretching forth, the left is stretching forth, but ultimately they meet and the middle, there's a line in the middle of the shin, and they do it together, right? So there's a concept of unity, right, which we see by Tiferet, and we also see by Yesod, and this was something that was a lesson that Hashem was teaching Moshe and Aaron. They have to work together. The Jewish people have to work together. Now, unfortunately, what we know is that starting in this week's parsha, things start to unravel. People start to complain. People start to badmouth. People, you know, this episode of the spies happened. Korach happens. It really goes downhill very quickly. And there's a very strong, and we see after the lack of complaining and the lack of unity with Moshe and Aaron, there's a lack of unity amongst the people, which ultimately leads to a whole separate Eidah, which is Korach's congregation. And ultimately, you wind up having to have a whole new generation going into to the land of Israel, and it's a total mess, right? Ultimately, it works itself out, but it's not what it could have been. Now, getting back to part of this lesson of this unifying light with the singular flame, with the flames on the right side uniting with the flames on the right side, right? The menorah is a source of light in the world, but light is not always apparent. The menorah is also referred to as, when it's being made, as mikshehi, right, which literally translates to it is solid, but can also be translated as it is difficult. When two people work together with light, with love, and they strive to help each other towards a common goal, this difficult object is now transformed and is now capable of emitting abundant light and can illuminate the world. Right, so you can have two people on opposite sides. You can have, so think about the menorah. You have the three flames, which represent, in this case, the fire would represent difficulty, not necessarily light. And you have difficulty on the left side as well. Difficulty on the left, difficulty on the right. They work on it and strive towards the common flame, towards a common goal, and they work together towards the middle, right? There's a lot of things we have. You know, you have a fulcrum and balancing, you know, seesaw, whatever you want to call it. You have a scale, right? Well, maybe not a scale, it might not be the best example. But either way, you can reach a balance, right? When you put in the effort and you put in the weight, and sometimes that's difficult. But when two people work together, no matter how difficult it is, it will bring illumination. Whether they meet their ultimate goal is sometimes immaterial. But the positivity that is reached by two people working together in unity for a positive goal ultimately brings a lot of light and illumination and positivity in the world, which is something we even needed back then and certainly we need nowadays. So keeping that in mind, obviously, you know, we're going through many, many different parsha with many, many different aspects and topics. So as we go through the next few weeks in Sefer Bamidbar and we learn about the disunity and the damaging effects of people not being together and not being harmonious, let us think about all the more so what we can do when we are together, we are harmonious, and we do help other people out, and we help each other, right? Just like Aaron was happy for Moshe, Moshe was happy for Aaron. We work together, we're happy for each other, we're not jealous, and we can build each other up, and we can help illuminate each other and ultimately illuminate the world. All right, wishing you all a Shabbat Shalom.